from the Mark Studios in Seattle. This is Theater of the Ears. Stories for the imagination. Stories for your ears. And now, Theater of the Ears. I'll give him a call. He has to be back from lunch by now. Probably out to lunch with that secretary of his. There's no doubt about it at all. It's totally authentic. The style, the levels, the humor, the pace. It's authentic, all right. Come on, John, answer your phone. I wouldn't have believed this unless I saw it. Imagine, it's lain dormant all these years. Daggone it. Without doubt, this has to be the most important discovery of English literature in this century. Imagine an entire unknown lost play by William Shakespeare on four of his sonnets. Where did John get this? Now let's try again. Come on, you old goat. Be there. Answer the phone. Come on.
Good afternoon, this is Professor Hinkle's office.
I'd like to speak to John Hinkle, please.
Whom should I say is calling, please?
Mark Roberts, Olympia University.
One moment.
Where did you get these manuscripts, John? Come on.
Well, Mark, how's things out there on the West Coast?
Just fine.
Well,
just fine.
I suppose you're calling because you have received the manuscripts that I sent you.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, well, have you had a chance to look at them yet?
Quite in depth.
And what do you think? Are they authentic or are they fake?
John, let me tell you something. I have gone over these manuscripts with a fine-tooth comb, and either this is the work of the bard or the work of an incredible forger with writing talents equal to Shakespeare.
Well, Mark, that's what I thought you'd say, because that's what I thought.
Two questions, John. Why did you send this to me, and where did you get it?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, Mark. I sent you those manuscripts for two reasons. First, you're probably the most authoritative expert on Shakespeare on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I received those manuscripts postmarked from Olympia.
From here?
Yes, and it looked like they even came from your university.
John, that's of course impossible. Surely any discovery of this magnitude made at this university concerning Shakespeare would have been brought to my attention.
Well, of course it would, John. That's the third reason I sent it to you. Look, I got a problem. I want you to help me with.
What's that?
Well, we know that the manuscript was mailed from university, but unfortunately, the only name that was contained in the package I received was that of William Shakespeare. I have no idea who sent it.
No?
No idea whatsoever. There's just one little clue that might help us in unraveling this mystery a little bit. It looks like the package was mailed from the Department of Physics.
Physics?
Yes. And did you look into it?
John, there is nothing in this world that's going to keep me from finding out the source of that manuscript. So that's a story, Professor Fermi. We have these manuscripts. We know it was sent from the Department of Physics, and I was just wondering if you, as chairman of the Department of Physics, would have any idea of the source of these manuscripts.
And Mr. Abbott's, it's quite laughable. It's quite funny that somebody would come to the Department of Physics for a problem in English literature. Oh, my goodness. You know, Professor Rappich, there's been a number of people in our department which have taken courses from you in Shakespeare. And candidly, sir, I must say that many of them, myself probably included, believe that you add levels of meaning and concepts into the works of the Bard which aren't there.
Professor Fermi, I won't argue that with you. I am the expert in Shakespeare, not yourself. Look, is there a possibility that somebody in your department would be doing research, say, into artificial intelligence, using a computer to mimic the writing style of some of the great masters, and that maybe they could have used this to generate this play?
Professor Roberts, there you go again, displaying your total ignorance of the physical sciences. Any research effort in artificial intelligence would originate in the Department of Computer Science, not in the Department of Physics, sir.
Well, be that as it may, I'm going to be talking to some of your faculty members concerning this. And would you please spread the word for me that I'm looking for somebody who has done work in Shakespeare? Would you do that?
Certainly, Professor Roberts. We are both colleagues in academia, both searching for the truth. Are we not?
Oh, what a day. Talk to every member of the faculty of the physics department. All the graduate students were there. And I'm just where I was when it started. I could use a drink. Much better. Oh, what do I do now? Wonder who that could be. Hello, this is Mark Roberts.
Good evening, Professor Roberts. I understand you are seeking the source of a lost Shakespeare manuscript.
Yes.
Yes, there's a possibility that I might be able to help you. But before I do so, I must have your word that our conversation will be held in the strictest of confidence.
Yes.
Will you guarantee that?
Yes, of course.
Very well, then. My name is Albert Planck. Mm. We talked today in the Department of Physics where I am a professor.
Yes.
I did not confide at you at the time. But perhaps tomorrow we can meet at a secret rendezvous, and I might be able to tell you what you want.
Of course, anywhere you would like.
Very well. I will meet you tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Evergreen Racetrack.
Of course, that would be fine.
Very well. We will see you there.
Mrs. Otta Cruz, it's an awfully beautiful day for you to be here working in the library.
Yeah, it is. I'd much rather be out swimming today. What can I help you with, Professor Roberts?
Well, I'd like to look at the latest printout of the faculty resumes. Could I do that?
Okay, what department?
I'd like to see the Department of Physics.
Okay, just a minute, please. Here you are.
Thanks, I'll just take it over here. Okay. Albert Planck. Planck. Yeah, there it is. Albert Planck, B.A., magna cum laude, Oxford, 52, M.S., University of Duisburg, 53, Ph.D. at MIT, and 58. Man's published a lot. I wrote a book, too, Experimental Subatomic Physics. Experimental Subatomic Physics, Let's see what else it says. He's been here at the university since 58. Took a sabbatical 2 years ago. Went back to Oxford for a year. That didn't make sense. I can imagine no one with a resume further attached from English literature than our Professor Albert Planck. I guess I'll have to wait till this afternoon at the racetrack to find out the connection between William Shakespeare and a man who writes books in experimental subatomic physics. Plank, where are you? How are you going to find me in this crowd? 45 minutes late already, man. Plank.
Professor Labritz, I presume. Professor Plank. Good afternoon, sir. How are you today?
Fine, and yourself?
I am fine myself. Excuse me, please, for my tardiness, but I was postponed at the $2 window.
That's quite all right, yes, sir. Could you tell me, please, about the Shakespeare manuscript and what you know?
Professor Labritz, I will be happy to tell you everything you want to know about the Shakespeare manuscript on one condition, and that is the condition that I mentioned on the phone last night. Mm-hmm. What I tell you, you must not repeat, or I will be in a lot of trouble. So, before I continue, you must swear to me that you will not repeat what you hear here today. Do I have your word of honor on that, sir?
Yes, of course, Professor Planck. I will be happy to agree to any condition which you set forth, but of course you realize, you understand that by doing this, we are stifling very, very important history here.
Yes, of course, I understand, but do I have your word?
Yes, I agree.
Very well. I think perhaps before I tell you the story of my involvement that it might be best if I give you a little bit of background. Mm-hmm. I am certain by now that you have been to the library and looked up my faculty resume. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yes, you are.
Yes. Well, as you then know, my specialty is in the area of subatomic physics. Mm-hmm. Professor Roberts, have you ever heard of the tachyon?
No, I haven't.
Well, the tachyon is a very interesting subatomic particle that has the curious property that it travels faster than the speed of light. Mm-hmm. Hence, it arrives at where it is going before it leaves where it is coming from. Hmm. Well, in my experimentation, I discovered that if I bombarded an article with a dense ray of tachyons, that object actually reversed its time axis. Hmm. I tried experimentation on animals, and I found out that I could take a dead animal and bombarding him by tachyons, it could actually reverse him in time.
Well, that means that if you took a dead animal and he was reversed in time, the dead animal would become alive again?
Precisely, Professor Labritz. You are very astute for one outside of my field. At any rate, my next thought, of course, was to try it upon humans. But, of course, to try it on humans, I required corpses. which brings us to the sensitivity of our conversation. You can understand that acquiring corpses was performed, indeed had to be performed, outside of the law. Even in our enlightened day and age, grave robbing is still looked upon with not a great deal of fondness.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that in some way you acquired William Shakespeare's corpse and you bombarded it with tacky whatchamacallits and you brought him to the 20th century?
Well, yes, Professor Roberts, but you're getting ahead of my story, please. Yes, I did, but not initially. Before I did, I recognized that I must perfect the procedure to send whoever I brought here back into time, per se. I could do that by using the, well, if you will, the antimatter equivalent of tachyons.
Go on.
My first thoughts were not about great lighters, but the great physicists. I initially brought back Sir Isaac Newton.
Newton?
Yes, he was one of the great physicists of all times, but he had problems coping with the information explosion of our age, and I had to send him back.
You mean to tell me that Sir Isaac Newton could not cope?
Yes.
With 20th century technology and physics?
Yes, Professor Roberts, that is totally correct. And he was the first of many of very famous physicists who I brought back, but none of them could properly adjust to our culture. Then at the suggestion of Professor Richards, my colleague and confidant, we decided to bring back some of the great people in literary history, thinking that possibly they could adjust better.
So you brought back Shakespeare?
Yes, Shakespeare was one who I brought back. I brought him back about 1 year ago. He seemed to adjust to our culture much better than some of the physicists. Well, immediately he sat down and he began to write. Hence the source of the play, the manuscript that he received.
I see.
You see, that's an authentic Shakespeare play, but it was only penned about 9 months ago.
I see. Why was I not contacted? My reputation as an expert in Shakespeare has been established internationally.
Yes, that's true. 1 second, please. I would like cola. Please, cola, yes. Right there, yes. How much is that?
A 75 cent.
Okay, here you go. Thank you. Well, Professor Roberts, let me tell you the way that it is. William Shakespeare was very intrigued by the fact that his works had lived on, and indeed that they had gained the status that he had, and he wished to investigate this without people knowing who he was. Indeed, last year, he took a course in Shakespeare from you.
No, that's quite impossible. I know all of my students, and wait a minute. Last year, that little bald guy sitting in the back row. You mean that?
Yes, Professor Roberts, that was William Shakespeare.
Is he still here? Is he still around?
No.
Can I talk to him?
No, Professor Roberts, like the others, he could not cope with the 20th century cultural shock. And besides, even if he was here, I don't believe that he would talk to you. You see, he did not like your class very much. Indeed, one of his last requests before he was sent back was that you not receive the manuscript. That's the reason that it was sent to John Hinkle at Harvard University rather than yourself.
I see. That's why John got it. But you say he didn't like my class?
No, he did not. Indeed, that is one of the reasons that he decided to go back. After taking your class, he was quite depressed.
Depressed? But why?
Well, you see, Professor Roberts, you flunked him.
Theater of the Ears today starred Robert Marks as Mark Roberts and Connie Marks as Alicia Alda Cruz, with Bobby Jack as Albert Plank. Theater of the Ears is brought to you by the Marks Studios in Seattle, Washington. Copyright 1985 by Original Marks.